Did you know that the Lord can lead you through dreams and visions and desires? That's right. Stay tuned to find out more.
Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. My name's Ashley Terades and this is my wife Carly, and we're so glad you've joined us today here in the lounge. We've got a great program for you. We're talking about how we can hear the voice of God. You know, in John 10, 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me." Mm-hmm. As believers, we can hear the voice of God. God is always speaking to us. The question is, are we listening? So we've got a...
That's what I say to you, isn't it?
You know, Carly said I don't listen properly or something like that.
Right.
Something like that. I wasn't listening properly. But anyway, we're talking about practical ways you can hear the voice of God. And we're in the middle of a little series here. We want to help you hear the voice of God more clearly. You know, sometimes people say, well, I can't hear the voice of God. And sometimes they say, I don't know when it's God, when it's me, or when it's the devil. Mm-hmm. These are all good questions, and we're trying to cover these today. Now, in previous shows, we've looked at the ways God speaks to us, different ways that God speaks to us. And the first thing is through His Word. The most reliable way God's going to speak to you, the way that you can trust the most, is through His Word. God's Word is a living Word. He used it to speak to his children. And I'm sure everyone watching, if you're born again today, you could give testimony about how the word of God has spoken to you. Now, sometimes it doesn't always feel like it's alive. Sometimes you might read it and it might just be like a book. That's okay. Keep reading it, because the Word is alive and it's going in you. And then there'll be those great times when the Word just jumps out and it speaks to you. That's fine. But anytime you can get in the Word of God and read the Word, it's powerful, because it's God speaking to you. You're going to learn about God's nature. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about the Word of God, it's not just about hearing God's voice directly through the Word of God. The good thing is, if you hear God in any of these other ways we're going to talk about, you can bring it back to the Word of God to judge it, to judge that Word and make sure it's right, because Amen. God will never contradict His Word. So if God, you know, uses a person to speak to you, or uses a dream or vision, or uses prophecy, or however else God speaks to us, we can judge that mm-hmm. against the Word of God, because the Word of God never lies. God's never going to contradict His Word. And so that's the baseline, if you like. The Word of God is the baseline against all other words. Amen?
Amen. That's powerful. I remember one time I was believing God for my healing, and I really didn't have an understanding of healing. I had no basis for healing. I had not seen any healing in my life. But God spoke to me one day and showed me that I could receive healing from epilepsy. Because that was so kind of left field for me, I hadn't anyone around me that had any experience with that, I went home and I asked the Lord to show me in His Word how that worked. And He is so gracious. He took me through the scriptures. He showed me all these different healing scriptures until I came to a point where I was thoroughly convinced that I was right in what I'd heard Him say to me. Mm. You know, and that really was just me and the Lord. And there is nothing wrong with asking the Lord for confirmation in His Word. He's more than happy to do it.
Amen. And we looked at other ways that we probably shouldn't ask for confirmation. We looked at circumstances. You know, we talked about Gideon, how he laid a fleece out to the Lord. And a lot of Christians will still do that. Oh, I'm going to lay a fleece out and ask the Lord for confirmation. You know, as New Testament believers, we have things that Gideon didn't have. We mm-hmm. have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have the whole Word of God. We have an intimate relationship with God, whereas Gideon didn't have what we have. So even though it may not have been the best thing for Gideon to do, it's definitely not the best thing for us to do. But God's so gracious, He'll meet you where He's at. And if you ask Him for a confirmation mm-hmm. and you lay a fleece, as people say, you know, it's type of Christianese, right, laying a fleece. But it's basically right. saying something like this: Lord, make this happen so I know it's You.
And just for people that might not be familiar with the story of Gideon, Gideon laid a fleece out, and he was trying to hear from God to find out what God's will was, His fleece, if it was wet or dry in the morning, would have helped him to make his decision, to mm-hmm. know which way God was going to go. And you're right, Christians do the same thing. And they, you know, but the problem with that is circumstances could be in our favor or they could
be against us. You find that story of Gideon in Judges 6. In Judges chapter 6 is that story. But yeah, the circumstances can be good or bad. And Paul puts it this way. I love this. In Acts 20, right around 24, Paul says, "I do not let these circumstances move me." And, you know, Paul had some terrible mm-hmm. circumstances. And sometimes Christians be like, well, the circumstances are all against me. It must be God. I must be moving in the right direction. Or some people say, the circumstances are all against me. This must be God warning me, and vice versa. So you can't rely
They're
on circumstances.
They're open to interpretation, aren't they?
They're open to interpretation. So we looked at the Word of God. We looked at circumstances. We also looked at audible voice. God has an audible voice. He still speaks to people sometimes through an audible voice. That's usually rare. And he usually does that for new believers or people before they're even believers, because he can't get to them any other way. Right. So it's like a last resort for the audible voice. So there's the audible voice of God. And then what else we look at? We looked at circumstances, the word of God, audible voice of people. God can use people to speak to you. And sometimes that might be people operating in spiritual gifts. Sometimes it might be people operating in the words of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy. Or sometimes it might just be people saying things and God's using them to speak to you. Again, mm-hmm. a little bit like circumstances. That can be a double-edged sword, though, because sometimes people can actually speak to you and it can actually be the enemy using them.
Right.
You know, there's a great example of this when Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, I don't think you have to go to the cross.
Yeah, that cross thing, don't worry.
I don't think you're going to have to die. And Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, Satan, mm-hmm. because Jesus was tempted by Peter's words. It was like the enemy speaking to him. So that can happen as well. So we need to be careful when people speak to us. But today we're going to be looking at something different. Today we're going to look at another way God speaks to his people, and that is through dreams and visions. God can speak to us through dreams and mm-hmm. visions.
Well, let me just clarify this, because dream interpretation is not a spiritual gift.
Really? I thought it was the tenth spiritual
right?
gift of dream interpretation.
It really isn't. And we see, you know, we see the Daniel there, and he'd have many dreams in the Old Testament, and God still gives us dreams and visions. But dream interpretation is not a spiritual gift. It's maybe not a very popular thing to say, but it's not listed as one of the 9 spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. And if we don't understand that, we can find ourselves having dreams and then going to other people to interpret our dreams. In fact, I remember one time we were standing on a campsite somewhere, mm-hmm. and there was all kinds of stuff going on in the middle of the night. All kinds of instruments were playing and loud music.
It was an interesting campsite. Maybe a little new agey, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe they may have been using illegal substances to stimulate them, because at 3 in the morning, when I had to get up to use the restroom, they were still very much awake.
Well, and trudging across the campsite in the dark, trying to find my way to the bathroom there, I met an interesting character, and he introduced himself to me as, "Hi, I'm Daniel, the dream interpreter."
Ooh.
I'm like, wow, that's wonderful. But I said,
did he have a business card?
He didn't have
dream
a business
interpretation
card, you know.
And by the hour?
I didn't take him up on his offer of services either. But we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And if God speaks to us in dreams and visions, he's going to show us what they mean. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not wrong to share those dreams and visions with other people, but just know that God has a way of speaking to us through the Word of God, through his Holy Spirit, through an inner witness on the inside. And yes, he can use people, but we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. Dreams and visions are completely valid.
Amen.
But we just need to make sure that we hold them in context to the Word of God. You know, many years ago now, our daughter Hannah was sent home from the hospital to die. She was 3 years old with an incurable disease. And every time the doctors came into her hospital room, they would tell us how terrible it was all, everything was going to be, and the prognosis was always really bad. And we were just finding out that healing was even a possibility. And, you know, the end of that healing journey for Hannah, well, she's, you know, she received her healing, amen. She didn't die. She's 15 years old today, and she was supernaturally healed at 3 years old. You can actually see her testimony on our website. But during that process of learning about healing and believing for Hannah to be healed, you know, we had to contend with the words and the advice of the doctors yep. and all of the circumstances that were going on around us. There were lots of different opinions other than just the Word of God yep. to weed through. And I asked the Lord to give me a dream, to give me a vision, a picture on the inside of me of Hannah as healed. Because every day I was sitting in the hospital room there, sleeping on the floor next to her bed. Every day I was seeing Hannah sick. Every day I was seeing the medication and the treatment and the doctors and the nurses. And that was speaking to me. That was giving me a kind of vision that made it difficult in my heart for me to picture what a healed Hannah looked like. Mm. So I asked the Lord to give me visions of what a healing looked like for Hannah so that I could attach my faith to that. And he gave me 3 visions. One of Hannah walking through the school gates on the first day of school. Another one of her riding a little red tricycle. Another one of Hannah on her wedding day. Now, we've seen 2 out of 3 of those things come to pass, right. Praise God.
We haven't seen the third one
She's too young to get married.
She's 15, and I told her, you know, when she starts dating, maybe when she's 35, somewhere
my
around
goodness.
There, then maybe she can think about getting married. I'm going to be a mess, because I cry at other people's weddings. My friend actually told me about his daughter getting married, and just him talking to me about his daughter getting married made me well up.
Ashley is the designated crier in our
house.
I'm not
good. Weddings, I'm a mess.
But, you know, visions are important. Visions are what build hope and are a primary start of faith right there. When we can start to see the end from the beginning, when we can start to see what God has in mind. Visions are important. You know, in the scriptures, he says that the Lord gives us visions and to write them down and make that vision plain that others might read it and run with it. God is big into visions, but we need to make sure that we just don't cast those things out there for everyone to interpret. We need to go back to the Lord and let him show us what those things mean.
Through the word, amen.
Through the word
amen.
Of God.
You know, in Acts 10, Peter had a vision. In fact, it's in Acts 10, Peter was so hungry, he fell into a trance. He got so hungry, but he had a vision, and that was the way that God communicated to him that the gospel was open to Gentiles. And that was through Peter having a vision. It was a dream or a vision. You could argue which one it was. Maybe it was a bit of both. But Peter, this is in Acts 10, had a vision, and God spoke to him through that vision. When he woke up, he almost contested the Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm not sure about this. But it was God speaking to him, mm-hmm. and he confirmed it, and that was a vision. There's another great scripture here. This is in Acts 2. In Acts 2, verse 16, this is Peter speaking. He says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he's quoting the book of Joel here. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, we're in the last days, how many of you know that? We're in the last days. In the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. How many of you know that everyone who's born again today is eligible for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He wants to indwell us with his spirit. And he says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We're going to look at the spiritual gifts and about prophecy and things like that in future episodes. And it says, your young men shall see visions. He's talking about visions. People seeing visions of the future. People seeing visions. God speaking to people through visions.
Showing them things to come.
And your old men shall dream dreams. Mm-hmm. So if you have dreams, if the Lord speaks to you through dreams, it's because you're old. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway,
darling.
I know my wife had a dream just last night, right? About things. Would you want to share that? What was that? Jeremiah 33, was it? God spoke to you in a dream.
Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Yeah, he was giving me dreams and visions. I'm about to go in to do a healing conference, and he was showing me all the different miracles that we were going to see in that conference.
That's awesome. Through a dream.
Through a dream.
So God can speak.
So I'm
going to
be
dreams.
Looking out for those people because I've already seen them.
And God's spoken to me through dreams. There's been a number of times where God's spoken to me through dreams. I've had dreams about things. I've had dreams for other people. And then I've shared those dreams with them people, and it's been right on the money. Like it's changed their life because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. So God can speak to us through dreams and visions. And we're going to look at, in some future episodes, we're going to look at how you can interpret those, how you can actually clarify those dreams and visions, how you can know when it's God speaking to you or when it's just your flesh, when it's just too much cheese pizza, or when it's actually God speaking to you, how you can determine when it's, you know, when it's the devil, when it's God. We're going to show you those things because, again, the devil can give you dreams. He can give you bad dreams, nightmares, and have you think on things. You know, one thing is if you're keeping your thought life in check. You know, Jesus says, take every thought captive. You know, and bring it under submission. So if you keep your thought life in check, then sometimes if the devil can't give you thoughts while you're awake, he'll try and give you thoughts when you're asleep. So sometimes the devil can speak to you through dreams. It's important to know the difference. And obviously don't submit to anything that's not from God, because we're meant to submit to God and resist the devil. You know, James 4:7, I believe. So God can speak to us through dreams and visions. And that verse I used was Acts 2, verses 16 through to 18. And then we also talked in Acts 10 about Peter's dream and about Peter's vision. Also in Acts, there was a dream. I forget who it was now. Was it Peter who had the dream about Cornelius? Or Cornelius had a dream. And God spoke to Cornelius through a dream. So God is speaking to his people through dreams and visions. Again, God is trying to speak to us, and he'll use any vehicle he can for as ever we're listening. It's always on our part to listen. God's the one doing the speaking. We're the one doing the listening, praise God. So it's powerful. Another way I've got that God can speak to us here is through our desires. Mm-hmm. God can speak to you through your desires. You know, this is in Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4 puts it this way. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. So again, with all these things, it's important to make sure we're in fellowship with God. If you're not in fellowship with God, if you're not delighting yourself in the Lord, if you're not spending time with the Lord, you're going to find it a lot harder to hear his voice. In fact, if you've got a spouse, you'll know that you can recognize their voice in a crowd because you spend so much time with them. It's the same with your kids. In fact, mothers are better than this than fathers. Mothers can hear a baby crying, they know it's their baby. Dads, I mean, someone shouts out dad in the mall, I mean, 25 dads turn around.
That's true.
We're not so good at that. But we can. The people we spend time with, the people we know the best, they're the people we can hear more clearly. So right here in Psalm 37, verse 4, it's saying, delight yourself in the Lord. This is the foundation. We have to be delighting ourselves in God. We have to be spending time with God. And it says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And what will happen is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will download His desires on the inside of you, so they're like your desires. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when we made the move to come out here to America in 2008, I loved England. I still love England. It's a great country. I loved England. I love the United Kingdom. And we had other opportunities to leave and to move country and different opportunities, that work opportunities and ministry opportunities. But I just loved England. I just wanted to stay there. I just had a love for England. Well, we came over to America in 2008. And I'm telling you, it's almost like overnight, my desire to live in England just went away. All of a sudden, I just desired to live in America. And I never desired to live in another country before, but my heart was desiring to live here. Mm-hmm. And I never missed England. Mm-hmm. Now, our parents are in England, so if they're watching, we miss our parents, obviously. We miss our relationships in England. But I can honestly tell you, I don't miss anything about England. And I loved England. If you'd met me before I moved to America, I loved England. I was the greatest, patriotic person. I mean, I just loved England.
I don't think it's so much about where you're living. I think it's the matter of being in the middle of God's will.
In the centre of God's will.
If you're in the centre of God's will, you're right where you're supposed to be. That is where you're going to find peace and contentment and fulfilment.
That's good. But for my example here, don't ruin my example. For my example, I had the desire to live in America.
Before all of our English audience.
Yeah, I had a desire. No, I love England. But I'm just saying, I had a desire to live here. It's amazing how God can give you desires. Another thing is,
He led you by that desire.
That's right. I worked at a ministry for over 9 years. And then one day I just walked into that ministry and the desire to work there left. Mm. Now, here's what you've got to be careful. You know, you can't be like, well, I didn't desire to be my wife anymore. I mean, I didn't desire to turn up to work, so I stayed in bed. We're not talking about being fickle
and led by your emotions.
We're talking about God will give you a godly desire. So
when you're in relationship with Him, that was your caveat at the beginning,
yes,
wasn't it?
Delighting yourself in the Lord. So many of you know, we started our own ministry. We served and worked for Andrew Womack Ministries. We was connected with him and working and serving him full time as students and also as staff members for a little over 11 years. And then one day we was ministering and we was driving back from that ministry trip. It was about a 10-hour drive. And on the way back, I was praying the Holy Ghost. I was delighting myself in the Lord. But I started to have these desires about moving it out and starting our own ministry. And that's how God led me. It's how God led us to come to Bible school.
Right.
You know, in 2006, we moved to Bible school. And Carly wanted to go to Bible school. It meant moving house. It meant me giving up my business. Mm-hmm. It meant moving the kids' school in and moving to the other end of the country. Now, in England, that's only, you know, it was only a couple of hundred, you know, 150 miles, 200
English
miles.
English people don't travel as much.
For an English person, it's a big deal. I mean, mm-hmm. you're moving to the other end of the country. So it was a big decision to make. And I remember Carly telling me, take a break, because I was restoring one of our houses at the time. So I was actually fixing up a house and I was doing a remodel. And she said, take a break from the remodel and go and just pray and ask the Lord to speak to you about going to Bible school. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, this is awesome. Carly must be serious. If she's telling me to stop working on the house, this must be serious. So I stopped working on the house today. I went out on the beach and I just spent the day praying and asking God to speak to me about going to Bible school. I basically said, God, speak to me. Shall we go to Bible school or not? Yes or no? Speak to me. And guess what I heard?
Nothing.
Crickets. Nothing.
So how did you hear the answer to your
God speaks to you more like that. When you ask God, He speaks you directly. For me, He doesn't speak to me like that. And I know the depending on your personality, depending on your makeup, your viewers, all our viewers will hear God differently. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't hear anything. But what happened was, is I had a desire to go to Bible school. That was a desire in my heart. I wanted to go.
So your question was answered. It just wasn't answered in the way that you
that was
anticipated.
Expecting. That's right. So mm-hmm. I had a desire. So over the next few weeks or so, I just had a want and a desire to get a Bible
school.
And
that got stronger and stronger.
And it got stronger and stronger. The more mm-hmm. I prayed and the more I delighted myself in the Lord, the stronger it got. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about going to Bible school. And even though in the natural, it seemed crazy, because in the natural, I was giving up my business, so we'd have no income. Mm-hmm. In the natural, we'd have two lots of full-time tuition to pay, me and you. We'd have to put our kids in a private school. There was not very good schools around the Bible school, so we put our children in a private Christian school. That's another three tuitions. Mm-hmm. I'd be in the Bible school all day, so I wouldn't be able to work or run a business. So
less time to earn money.
So less time to earn money. So we'd be away from our family and friends and our church and all things like that. So in the natural, it seemed crazy. But on the spiritual side of things, I had peace. I thought I had a desire to go. I wanted to go.
And that is really interesting, because even though the circumstances, you know, we had, I suppose you say, a word from God and then 10 other reasons why that would be crazy.
Right.
But the more we started to talk about it and talk about it to each other, mm-hmm. You know, we were in unity. We were excited. The more we talked about it, the more we dreamed about it, the more we planned about it. And, you know, that's one way to test where your desire is coming from. Because if you have a thought or a desire on the inside, but the more you push into that, the more you pursue it, that you start to lose your peace.
Right.
You know, God can lead you in that way too, right?
Amen. Peace,
and,
yeah.
You know, just by a presence of peace or by a lack of peace.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in letting peace be your umpire.
Yeah, it says that in Ephesians, right? It talks about peace being our umpire, making decisions. So that's where I was at. I had a desire to go. And now you won't have peace in your flesh. Your flesh will freak out. Your flesh will be like, don't do it.
Because it doesn't
crazy.
Like change normally.
It doesn't like change. But then I got to thinking about it. The fact that I desired to go to Bible school, it had to be God. I mean, it wouldn't be my flesh that wanted to go to and study the Word of God full time.
Certainly wouldn't be the devil.
It wouldn't be the devil. So it really was... I really believed it was God, and God spoke to me for that desire. Now, looking back decades later, I can say, yeah, God spoke to me and told me to go to Bible school.
But in the moment, was it that clear?
No, and in fact, I'm guilty of this myself. Us preachers are guilty of this. We'll preach and we'll say things. We'll say, God spoke to us and told us to do this. God spoke to me and told me to do this. God told me to do this. God told me to do that. I heard God tell me. And it sounds like we've got a direct line to God. Well, we have, but it's no different to your direct line from God. What happens is God speaks to us in different ways, through desires and through His Word and things like that. And when it comes to this Bible school move, which was at the time one of the biggest decisions we had to make, God spoke to me through desires. We went to Bible school for 2 years at Caris Bible College, graduated there, one of the best decisions we ever made.
Right.
And going to Bible school now, when I tell people about it, I say, God told us in 2006 to go to Bible school, and I just leave it there. God told me to go to Bible school. But it wasn't a, you know, written in the sky, Ashley, go to Bible school. It
and
wasn't
if
that
we,
clear.
If we hadn't have gone, God would have still loved us, right? The plans of God wouldn't have been completely shipwrecked for our life. You know, we still would have had a good life, and God would have taken care of us. It's not like we just, you know, we make a mistake. We don't hear perfectly. You know, newsflash, no one hears perfectly.
Right?
It takes faith to hear God.
Amen. And God's will isn't that fragile that if you miss it once, that's it, it's all over. You know, God's better than a GPS, you know, than a satellite navigation system, they call them in England, because He'll redirect you. You know, if you miss a turn, He'll redirect you. If you take another turn, He'll redirect you.
God's so good.
Recalculating. God's so good, He'll get you there if you're obedient to Him.
That's right.
But basically, He spoke to us through desires. We acted on those desires, and now looking back, I say, God told us to go there. And the same thing's happened lots of times. So desires is a powerful way that God will lead you. Basically, when you get close to God, when you start to delight yourself in the Lord full time, when He is your delight, He is your focus, He is the person you are really living for and serving 100%. When you're at that place, you can basically do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Now, that's dangerous to say, the people that are living by the flesh. If you're letting your fleshly desires get up on you, then your flesh is going to want to eat that whole pint of ice cream. And that's not God. Your flesh is going to want to, you know, kick the cat or whatever. That's not God. But if you are delighting yourself in the Lord and you're living out of your spirit, you can just do whatever you want to do. And God will give you desires.
And I think that, you know, when we are in relationship with the Lord, when we are delighting ourselves in the Lord, and we are allowing Him to put desires in our heart, when we start to follow those desires, it draws us closer to Him, not further away.
That's right.
So if, you know, you might say to me, well, I just really have a desire to play video games 24/7.
That's our son. Our son's like, the Lord has told me I must pursue a video game career.
I'm going to question that, because it's taking all of your time and it's isolating you. It's taking you away from relationship, and it's not moving you into you pursuing the things of God.
Right.
And, you know, we could apply this to all different kinds of situations. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take that secular job, or, you know, you shouldn't move, or, you know, that you have to be in ministry or any of those things. But whatever the desire is, it needs to help you step closer into your relationship with the Lord. And it says in the next verse here, commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass.
Amen.
When we are following the desires of the Lord, being delighting ourselves in the Lord, allowing Him to speak to us through dreams and visions and desires, and actually plant those things in us, it's effortless, because He brings it to pass.
Amen.
You know, we don't even have to force the door open. He starts to open the door ahead of us. Amen. We can fully commit the Lord. If God has put a desire in your heart, you can trust Him to bring it to pass.
Amen. That's powerful. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, I could look it up. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says, but he who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with Him. So if you're born again today, if you're a believer today, you're one spirit with the Lord. That's why in 1 John 4:17, it says, as He is, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. in your spirit, you're one spirit of the Lord. You're seated with him in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. And that's why when God speaks to us, it's often spirit to spirit.
Right.
It can sometimes sound like our own voice. Mm-hmm. It's not a third person voice on the outside saying, Ashley, do this. It's usually within us. And sometimes we can miss it because we think that just sounds like me.
Right.
But it's often God speaking to us. Mm-hmm. There's a great example of this about the still small voice in 1 Kings. You got that there? 1 Kings 19. This is Elijah. And what happens here with Elijah?
Yep. Well, it says in verse 11 and 12, he said, go and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great wind, great and strong wind, split the mountains and broke the rock into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. When after the wind, an earthquake came, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the fire came, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice.
Wow. Sounds like Colorado. You know, we live in Colorado. One season we have fires, the next season we have floods.
We only have three seasons, freeze, fire and flood.
Freeze,
that's it,
fire,
that's Colorado.
And flood. But this is quite spectacular. I mean, Elijah wanted to see God and he came past him. He hid him in a rock and he came by and there was a mighty earthquake that split rocks. You know, there's a mighty wind and there was an earthquake. But God wasn't in these powerful things. Sometimes we're looking for God in the spectacular. Sometimes we're looking for God in the you know, we think the supernatural is always going to be spectacular. Mm-hmm. But God is a humble God, and often he'll speak to us and he'll do things in a way that you can almost miss them.
Right, you can miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular.
Amen. You know, the burning bush, even though that was a supernatural incident, Moses could have walked past it and not stopped and turned aside. It said Moses turned aside to see why the bush was burning. When Jesus walked out on the water and walked to the disciples on the boat, that was a supernatural appearance of Jesus walking on the water. But it says Jesus would have passed them by if they hadn't have called out to him.
Yeah.
See, God will present himself in a way that's humble, and it's up to us to ask him to enter in. It's up to us to commune with him. Mm-hmm. And right here it says that he spoke to Elijah with a still, small voice. Not the fire, not the earthquake, not the wind, a still, small voice. And that's still how God speaks
to us. It's intimate.
It's intimate. It's a still, small voice. It takes faith to believe it. Mm-hmm. And it's intimate. It's a still, small voice. And like I said, because we're one spirit of the Lord, often we'll think it's our own spirit speaking. We can't tell the difference between us and God. And that's why we need the Word of God to determine these things mm-hmm. and work out if it's just our flesh or if it's God. Because we're one spirit, he often speaks to us in the first person. In my own experience, I feel like I've missed it more with God because I thought, that's just me. That's just my own thoughts. That's just me thinking.
Because when God speaks to us on the inside of us, it sounds like us.
Yep.
You know, when I'm hearing God on the inside of me, it sounds like my voice. It doesn't sound like a man's voice.
Right.
And so I think it's much easier for us to discern good from bad. You know, it's like night and day. Well, that seems like it's not a good thought. It's not noble. It's not a good report, right?
So you can test your thoughts. You can test them, right? Against like Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 gives you a list of things. Whatever's good, whatever's noble, whatever's virtuous, whatever's praiseworthy. Think upon these things. You can test them. You can take every thought captive and test it. You can test it against John 10:10.
Yep.
John 10:10 says if it's going to kill, steal, and destroy, it's from the devil. If it's going to bring life and life more abundantly, it's of God. So good and bad's easy, right?
That's pretty easy. What's much more challenging is trying to discern what is good and what is God.
Good and God, mm-hmm. Wow.
Because there are lots of opportunities in life. There are lots of thoughts that run through our minds. And some of those are good ideas, but they're not God ideas. And if we take up our time and our energy pursuing just busy things, but they aren't God-ordained things, we can easily find ourselves getting weary.
And get distracted from our relation with God.
Exactly.
In fact, you know, Adam and Eve were tempted. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't the tree of the knowledge of just evil. It was a tree of good and evil.
Right. And so when our thoughts come to us, when we're not necessarily having sinful thoughts or evil thoughts, we're just, you know, it's just our own imagination. It's our own mind. It's our own mind, will, and emotions. It's our own opinions on things. And discerning what's of our flesh, what's of our own mind, apart from when God is speaking to us in that still small voice, which on the inside of us sounds like us, can be the hardest thing to differentiate.
Right. People say it's the knowing in your knower. It's like you've got a knowing in your knower. And I've been there. There's been times when deep down I've just known on the inside, you know what, this is God speaking to me. And it's a still small voice. And like I said, most of the time I think maybe it's just me. But no, it's God speaking to me.
Right.
And usually I'm not 100% sure. I tell people this, you know, I'm not 100% sure it's God until afterwards. Afterwards, I can look back and say, no, that was God 100%. But at the time, I'm really not that sure until afterwards. And you know, that should help some of you because some people are waiting for a 100% clear voice from God. they're waiting for the writing to be in the sky, or, you know, for God's voice to speak to them from the outside, you know, Ashley, do this. When really it's often from the inside. It's that intimate, still, small voice from the inside. And it's that knowing on the inside. Don't ignore that knowing, because if you ignore it, it's going to be that's that little bit harder next time to hear it, because you're shutting it down. It's a little bit like your conscience. You can see your conscience. You can keep saying no, keep ignoring it, and it's not going to be quite as attuned. Mm-hmm. Whereas as we practice hearing the voice of God, as we act on the voice of God, it's a lot easier to hear him later on.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the, just being real practical here, one thing I've noticed is when I'm maybe in worship, often actually is when God speaks to me in that still small voice, and I'm in that time of intimacy, I'm in that secret place, right? As David says in the Psalms, but I'm in that time where I am really concentrating, I am really focused on the Lord, I'm thinking about Him. If ideas during that time come to me, thoughts come into my mind that don't have a train of thought.
Right.
In other words, you know, sometimes, maybe I'm just being carnal here, but, you know, in church on a Sunday and, the pastor's preaching up a storm, but it's getting near to lunchtime and your stomach starts rumbling. If what comes to your mind in those moments is, what am I going to have for lunch?
And then you start thinking about what restaurant to go to.
Right.
Is that who you're going to go with?
Right.
That's a train of thought.
That's probably not God. Right? It has a train of thought. You can find out where it started from. You can trace it back to your stomach rumbling.
Right.
But if an idea comes to your mind, and it's like that seemed to come from absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
That was just out of the blue. And it sounds like God, and it smells like God, and it sounds like, and it matches up to the character and the nature of God. Man, I'm like, Lord, is that you speaking to me? I'll just ask, is that you, Lord? And I'm like, is that your still small voice? Because on the inside of me, my spirit in me is bearing witness. In other words, it's getting excited about what it's just heard.
Right?
There is a connection. There is a yes and amen going on the inside of me.
That's good.
And I'm starting to get excited. Well, then what I do is I take that thought and I take it and I say, Lord, can you show me again? Can you give me some confirmation? And the more I think about it, the more I meditate on it, the more excited I get, the more desire I have for it, the more peace I'm led into.
Spiritual peace is really good.
And so that's the process that my brain goes through when I'm hearing from God. And I found that really helped me, because when I'm asking the Lord to confirm things to me, often he'll give me a scripture to go read or a passage, or he'll have somebody else maybe come up and say, hey, I've been praying for you, or just for the Lord is saying, and they'll give me a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy that will confirm what the Lord has just spoken to me.
Right, that's
good. So in those moments, that's one practical way that I found to discern the still small voice of God and bring our thoughts into captivity so that we can judge them rightly according to the Word of God.
Amen. That's good. That really is good. These are practical. We're talking about practical ways we can hear the Word of God. And I can't tell you how many times that I've thought about doing something, I've gone to do something, and that still small voice has told me no, or, you know, this, that
you
isn't
just
right
haven't
for
had
you.
Peace about
you
it.
You haven't had peace
you
about
felt
it.
Uneasy and unrest.
And sometimes, now, we're talking about spiritual peace, not fleshly peace, because often the Lord will tell us to do something and our flesh freaks out.
Right.
I'm thinking one time I was at a banquet, a missions banquet, and I was asked to be the speaker there, and they had this place set out for probably 200 people. It was beautiful. They had people dressed in black and they had silver service and the tablecloths on and everything. But a snowstorm coming. You know, we live in Colorado Springs, and often we can have a freak snowstorm, and this was in the winter. I think it might have been the fall time, and a snowstorm came in, and it dumped like a foot of snow, like really quickly. So no one came out to this mission banquet in the evening.
Yeah, just a handful
really
of people there.
Just a handful of people. So I spoke, I gave a good offering, I put in the offering, and as I was leaving, I was walking away, and I was just delighting myself in the Lord, just praying the Holy Ghost, just thanking God. And as I'm walking out, that still small voice says to me, that money you have in your savings account, the money you have for a down payment on a house. So we're not just talking about a few thousand, we're talking about a lot of money we saved up for a down payment on a house. And God said, go back and give that to that missionary. Well, how do you know? My flesh was freaking out.
It wasn't comfortable.
My flesh was not at peace. In fact, that's when you can tell if you're giving a generous gift, because if your flesh
your
is freaking out,
fast.
Your heart's beating fast, if you're shaking as you write the check, you know it's a generous gift. Well, God had spoken to me with a still small voice about doing this. And now I wasn't 100% at the time. I wasn't 100% sure it was God. But I knew there was a still small voice on the inside of me, and my flesh was freaking out. And I remember calling you, and you told me in the natural some of the reasons why it might not be a good idea, which is good. It's good to seek counsel and find out. But then in the end, we was in agreement. I said, no, I'm 90% sure this is God.
Well, I said, just give me a minute. I need to go and pray about this, because it was, you know, it was a sacrificial gift.
Right.
And it would have had consequences for us in our finances. But, you know, I just went before the Lord. I'm like, Lord, is this you or not? Yes or no? And I just listened. And what I heard in my spirit was this still small voice. It said, yes.
Yep. So you called me back.
So there you go. Job done at that point.
So because it was a large amount of money, I had to go and get a cashier's check from the bank. So I got a cashier's check. I said to the missionary or his friend, can you come and meet me tomorrow morning? And his friend said, well, the missionary's type of busy. And I said, listen,
He's going to want to meet us.
So he met us in the morning. I gave him the check. And as he took the check from me and saw the check, he started to cry.
As
I handed the check over, I started to cry. I'm not letting go of it. I was like, but you know what? It was the exact amount of money he needed to build this Bible school in Asia. He was a missionary in Asia. He was building a Bible school, brick and mortar Bible school. And he built this Bible school with this money. It was the exact amount of money he needed. And I got back in my truck and I was driving home. And as I was driving home, I was thanking God. I was like, God, thank you for speaking to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me to give this mm-hmm. money. And you know what? I heard God's voice again, as clear as day. I heard God's voice. And this time it was 100% clear. It wasn't 90%. It was 100% clear. He said, thank you. And I was just blown away. I was like, excuse me, Lord. He's like, thank you. I pulled the truck over. I was crying. And I felt God's presence in that truck thanking me for giving that money. And this is what he said to me. He said, I asked lots of people to give that money to that missionary, but they couldn't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they didn't have it on their radar. They weren't listening. They didn't have it on their radar. And I'd have a joke about it when I first heard God tell me to give that large amount of money. That I was like, I can't hear you, Lord. I can't hear you, Lord. I'd have a joke about that. But that wasn't the truth. The truth was, when we were young, when we first got married and we had no money, we were so poor we couldn't pay attention. We wrote out faith checks. It was like, one day we're going to give $1,000. One day we're going to give $10,000. One day we're going to give $50,000. One day we're going to give $100,000. We wrote out checks and we started to believe God that we would prosper enough to give away these large amounts of money. And praise God, since then, since we gave that down payment away, well, first of all, we now own a house debt-free. We don't even need a down payment because we own it for cash. So God's so good, he's prospered us. But since then, we've given many checks away of more money than that because God has blessed us. But, you know, that's not the point. The point is we heard God's voice and we participated in it. And God was saying to me, if you will listen to me, I will lead you in right ways. I will lead you in ways, you know, good things. He's got good things for us and he longs for us to hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
He longs for us to hear his voice. And praise God, that missionary is blessed. We were blessed. We increased. And that's happened lots of times since then. So I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, obey his voice.
Look for that scripture piece.
Yeah, yeah.
John 10:27.
Yep.
My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me.
And they follow me. So follow Jesus. When he speaks to us, follow Jesus. If it's that still small voice, follow Jesus. I've got some practical tips here, if you like. The first thing is, as we had already discussed, it does often sound like our own voice because we're one spirit of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I've got here that sometimes it can just be like a hunch or a feeling. You know, sometimes you just have a hunch or a feeling like, I think this is God. I'm not sure. I think this is God. That can often be God. Sometimes we can have a picture or an impression. Sometimes we'll be thinking about something or we'll be praying for someone and we'll have a picture or an impression and we'll have an image or we'll think about something.
Or just a word.
Yeah, or just one word.
No, I remember ministering to a lady one time and I think it was a healing event that we were doing, and I didn't know this at the time, but her relationship with the Lord she'd become so disappointed because she was just struggling so long to receive healing.
Mm-hmm.
She'd become really discouraged, and she said in her heart, Lord, I'm not going to tell them what's wrong with me. You're going to tell, you know, she'd gotten to the point where she was even questioning her faith and her salvation if God was even real. She was so discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, God, if you're real, I'm not going to tell these people what's wrong with me, but they're going to know. You're going to tell them what's wrong with me.
One of those.
Right? So she comes for ministry after the message, and I asked her, you know, what are you dealing with? What can I agree with you in prayer for? And she said, I just want you to pray for me. I just want you to pray for me. So I thought, that's a bit strange. So I just started praying in tongues actually for a short while, and I just had the word liver, just come into my mind absolutely out of nowhere. I wasn't thinking about livers. I had no reason that I couldn't tell on the outside what was wrong with this lady, but I just had this word liver. So I said to her, this could be completely just, you know, I've eaten too much cheese for lunch. You know, this could be me. But I feel like the Lord is saying the word liver. Do you have a problem with your liver? And she just started to cry, I mean, and bawl and weep. And, you know, we prayed for her, and it was that she had like a type of liver failure.
Wow.
She had all kinds of symptoms in her body that you couldn't tell by looking at her.
Wow.
But she had all kinds of symptoms. She was miraculously healed, and it started because that I was listening to that still small voice on the inside of me that revealed one word. And then that one word, what that meant to that lady was more than just a healing. It meant that God loves me, that He is real, that He does care.
Amen.
And that He loves me enough to tell somebody else about me.
That's good.
So sometimes when we're listening, you know, it could be the most obscure thing that comes to mind. And we need to be careful not to discount it. I mean, sometimes God has revealed things to me that I thought, that just seems so obscure.
Right.
You know, we could easily move past it thinking that's just craziness. But we need to listen to that voice and go back and ask, Lord, is this you?
Mm-hmm.
Is this you speaking? And it could be a word, it could be a picture, as Ashley's saying.
Yeah.
Lots of different ways.
God is trying to minister to His people.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us. And this is one of the ways the spiritual gifts work. We're going to be looking at spiritual gifts hopefully next time. And, you know, you need to hear God's voice, because most of the spiritual gifts work by hearing God and acting on His voice.
Yeah.
You know, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy. We need to hear God's voice, and then we can flow in spiritual gifts, praise God. So it could be a hunch or just a feeling. It could be a picture, an impression. Sometimes it can unsettle us. We already talked about this. But sometimes the Holy Spirit or God's small, still voice can unsettle us. He can tell us no in a certain situation. We're about to do something.
Don't do that.
And
it's
God's saying no. And then afterwards you look back and say, whew, praise the Lord, that was a no, because that would have been a mess. Even in the natural, everything looks
mm-hmm.
good, it could have been a mess. But we always have to listen to God. You know, before I make a commitment to something, I always ask God, you know, is this right? Is this the right thing to do? I want to know God's heart, because God knows the beginning from the
mm-hmm.
end. So I'm telling you, He knows how things are going to turn out, and He will always lead you to victory. So it's good to ask God. The mistakes I've made, the times when it's cost me thousands of dollars of mistakes and everything else, the times when I've cried and stuff, is because I haven't listened to God.
Yeah.
And I've just run ahead. You know, we need to walk hand in hand with God. You know, how can two walk together unless they agree? We need to be walking hand. God wants
mm-hmm.
us to walk hand in hand with Him. He doesn't want us to lag behind. You know, I believe it's Psalm 32 says, you know, don't be like a mule that's lagging behind. Don't be like a horse that runs ahead. Talking about obedience. No, be hand in hand with God,
mm-hmm.
and He will lead us. And if we run ahead and don't listen to Him, we can get into trouble. And if we lag behind, we're not going to get into the things of God. So we need to make sure we're listening to that still small voice and letting it, if it checks us, it checks us. I've got, how do we know when it's God speaking to us or when it's not? And this is good. So we've already covered this. The first thing is it's got to line up with Scripture. If it contradicts Scripture, it's not God. And I had
mm-hmm.
someone come into my office the other day and they said, God told me this. And I just turned around to them and I said, no, He didn't. And they got really upset with me. They said, how do you know that? I said, because I know God, I know the Word of God, and God did not tell you to do that because it doesn't line up with His Word.
Yeah.
God won't contradict His Word, so it's got to line up with His Word.
I had a lady come to me. You know, God, we can't expect other people to be our Holy Spirit.
It's good.
Right? God, we need to take a little bit of responsibility, and this might not be popular, but we need to take responsibility for our own personal relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And not rely on other people. Now, God will use other people to minister to us for sure, but that's not a substitute for our own connection with the Lord. I had a lady come into my office one time, and she said to me, and she was an older lady, and she said, do you think I should marry such and such, this guy? And I said,
well. I take it she wasn't already married.
She was a single lady.
Okay.
And he was a single man, okay? But I said, well, what do you think? I mean, I wouldn't be the one marrying him. You'd be the one marrying him.
Right.
She goes, well, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I said, well, have you prayed about it? Have you asked the Lord? And she says, well, I've asked the Lord. And I said, and? And she says, and I haven't heard anything. She says, but my classmates, she was in college, my classmates think it would be a really good idea. And they've told me, you never can really know when you walk down the aisle. It's not until after you're married. I'm like, no, you can know. You can know if you're supposed to marry this man or this woman. This is a big decision. I said, you need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be making a life-altering decision, like whether I should marry someone or not, if I don't know,
right.
if I don't have a peace on the inside. This isn't 50-50. I'm not going to phone a friend or put it out for a vote. You know, we need to have our own relationship with the Lord. And when it comes to life-altering decisions like that, take a little time, because if we're not in peace, then
yeah.
hold off.
Yeah.
Right? Then hold off making that decision until we find a place of the most peace. I mean, sometimes
yeah.
we're faced with decisions and neither direction seems great. We'll go with the direction where we have the most
peace. The spiritual peace,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
The spiritual peace.
You know, that's one of the things. If it's a life-altering decision, if it's a big deal, then it's okay to ask the Lord for confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to seek counsel. You know, and that there's safety in the multitude of counsel. Find people that are older than you, not just in years. I'm talking about like older in the faith, have had a bit more experience in that area. Find someone who's had victory in that area and ask their advice on something. It's okay to ask advice. I've got here, you know, you can ask people's advice and find out. That's Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14 said, "The multitude of counselors, there's safety." So ask advice of people. That would really help. And I've got some other notes here. I said, you know, if hearing God's voice and acting on it, it takes faith. It's going to take faith to do this. When you act on God's voice, we're never 100% sure until afterwards. It's going to take faith to do this. It takes practice. Go ahead and say yes to God. You know, it's going to take practice. It's going to take obedience. No Lord is an oxymoron. You know, if he's your Lord, if he's your master, then you can't say no to him. It's an oxymoron. So once you know it's God, you got to say yes, even though, you know, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. So say yes, you know, and often it'll take courage. Sometimes you'll be scared to make it, but go for it. It takes faith, it takes courage. God's going to be with you. Any word from God is going to have everything you need to succeed, praise God. And then just a few things real quick as we finish up, how you can hear God's voice more clearly. First of all, confess that you can. John 10:27, you can hear God's voice. Yeah. Stop saying you can't hear God's voice. Start confessing by faith you can hear God's voice.
Start in expectation.
Spend time with God. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're spending time with him, getting to know him, praise God. Learn what he says and doesn't say. That's by reading the word. Find out what he does say and what he doesn't say. And make sure that you're cutting out distractions. Don't be so distracted. Be focused. Be focused on the word of God. And be obedient. When he says do it, then go for it. When he says do it, go for it. You know, Luke 6:46 says, "Many call me Lord, but they don't do what I tell them to do." So do what God tells you to do, and that'll really, really help you. Don't limit God. Don't say, "God, is it A or is it B?" Sometimes God has C, D, and F for us. So yeah. Don't limit God. Be open for God to speak to us, and don't limit God, praise God. And when you do that, you're going to be able to hear God's voice. You know, so we want you to be able to hear God's voice clearly. Amen.
God wants it more than we do.
Amen. He wants. Mm-hmm. In fact, I want you to repeat after me, wherever you're watching from right now. Say, "I'm a believer, and I can hear God's voice clearly." Say it right now. "I'm a believer and I can hear God's voice clearly." That's based on John 10:27. The truth is you can hear God's voice. God is speaking to you.
You do.
Amen. You do hear God's voice. And God wants you to hear him. He wants you to listen and he wants you to be obedient. He's leading you into good things. So be obedient today to God's voice. Amen. Praise God. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll be back real soon. And until next time, remember, don't just settle for living a normal life when God wants you to live the abundant life.